dawn of a new era. Even more of what you asked for from your talk radio station.
It's Glenn Beck.
The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
New shows and more news.
Now on North Central Florida's talk leader, 97.3.
The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is 9:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. 9 o'clock stretch. In progress. Top story, obviously, Milton, 125-mile-an-hour sustained winds. We'll get more into that in a little bit, but I've got special guests in the studio. Tom Brinkman, general manager of Audi Gainesville, and Michael Potipow with the Ronald McDonald House. Gentlemen, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you
good
for having
morning.
Us.
I'm happy you didn't wear the lederhosen this morning. We want to save that for the special event that is coming up. How many years have we been doing this, Tom?
This will be our sixth year.
And Mike, how long have you been involved in the Ronald McDonald House?
I've been involved for over 24 years.
Oh. So
he's no newbie. Yeah.
So you actually brought it to Tom as a fundraiser idea?
Tom and I were out together having dinner, and he came up with this idea, and he said he wanted to do it, but he needed help figuring out a charity to benefit.
Yeah, a worthy charity that people, that need support, that the local community can identify, and you knocked it out of the park, and every year, you guys, it gets better and better. This is Oktoberfest, celebrated at Audi Gainesville on Main Street in Gainesville, Saturday, October 26th. What time do you suggest people get there?
So we're going to start at 10 a.m., and it usually winds up going until about 6 p.m.
And I know in previous years, parking is always an issue. Obviously, you got a large lot with inventory on it there. It's not really for, accommodating a bunch of people. How do you deal with that?
I think the best thing is just to Uber in. We do have some parking, and then there's parking on some side streets. But, if we're honest, we're all going to be drinking beer, and it's better just to Uber in and out.
Plus, I think Uber actually is a German word. See, you didn't even think of that, did you?
Perhaps.
I don't drink. I park a block over, and we walk. Literally, it's probably half a block away. There's plenty of parking on the side street right there.
Yep, good point.
Yeah. So, this is coming up Saturday, October 26th, and that's why we give you a heads up, because it just seems like the time of year when everybody's, filling in those dates. It becomes really nice from a weather perspective. You guys do this, inside and outside, and you have the big tent, and every year. Where's your band come from?
We fly them in from Munich, Germany, because we want it to be authentic.
And you also want it to be authentic, and Michael Potipow on the grill.
That's correct.
And the brats that I think, you knock it out of the park with those as well. But apparently Tom's pushing his way in with his own variety of German chickens. Is that what's going on here?
Yes. Tom couldn't let me be with my sausages, so he had to come in and bring these German chickens.
Well, we wanted to provide.
Did they get flown in from Berlin too?
not the birds. No. Okay. The birds are local.
Okay, but they are. What do? You spice them up with some German spices. How's that work? What makes them German? I guess what I'm asking.
So all of the food comes from German butchers, with the exception of the chicken. They come from a local company that provides them to us. But we spice everything just like they do at the Oktoberfest. So I have the spice. The chicken grill came from Germany, and they are. Greg, you had them a couple weeks ago.
They're amazing. I was telling Bob, it's like it falls off the bone. It is tasty.
Greg would eat shoe amazing. Leather if it's free. Okay, so I don't know that he's exactly going to be a connoisseur.
I have some taste,
but
they really are amazing.
And Tom, what do you know about Oktoberfest, Mr. Expert?
Well, I lived in Germany for 30 years.
And that's a start.
And so you've only been to two Oktoberfests.
Yes, I was actually there last week, 2 days. So just to make sure that I knew how things were run, and we could bring that back this way. So it's all authentic. And this year we have a bigger tent. We have a 100-foot tent out there to keep people out of the sun. And we expect, it's been growing all the time, so I expect we'll have over 400 people cycle through that day. And hopefully our donations to the Ronald McDonald House will be strong again. Last year it was about $25,000, and we've done that consecutively. It just keeps growing.
Well, because it's a great event. It's very, very well done. It's very authentic, and it's for an awesome cause. And Michael, explain to people, I guess, the basics. I think most people know Ronald McDonald House, but not everybody.
Yeah, Ronald McDonald House is a home away from home for families who are going through a medical crisis with their children. We serve the families of Shands. They have such specialized doctors and specialized care for children going through a variety of illnesses, injuries, and you know, as a parent of a child going through that, their choice would be to go back to a hotel by themselves mm-hmm. or come to the new Ronald McDonald House. We just opened our doors last year to the newly remodeled Ronald House. We're serving more families, and they have the support that they need. They get the meals. They get the other families that go through the same thing as a support network. So it's an amazing cause, and, you know, we really look forward to these fundraisers to help us manage these families throughout the year.
With the recent expansion, we thought, well, good, we're going to be able to cover all the families in need, but you still have to turn away some families,
yes.
Don't you?
Yeah, we
Which
sure
is unfortunate.
Do.
All right, they do great work, and this is also an opportunity. People come in and they volunteer to cook and to do other things at the Ronald McDonald House. That's huge.
Yeah, they do family dinners. Every night they try to have a company or a group of families or church come in and serve our families dinner. The families come back from the hospital and they have a warm meal to eat.
Waiting for them.
And that is a great thing. And we always need more folks volunteering to do that.
Well, you know, the parents are going through a lot. They've got a lot on their mind. And when it comes to preparing a meal and all that, some of them aren't hungry because they're sick over their child, frankly. But if you make it that available to them and stuff like that, you're taking care of the caregivers themselves because, you know, they're the ones that ultimately are going to be looking in on the kids, not just when they're stuck in the hospital, but when they take them home. So got to keep those people strong and well, too. Got to treat the whole family.
That's right.
The whole unit. All right. So this is a great event. This is where we raise money for an excellent cause. By the way, we are the official radio sponsor of the Ronald McDonald House.
That's
and
a
proud
wonderful
of
thing.
It.
Thank you.
Proud of it. So Oktoberfest is going on Saturday, October 26th, authentic Oompa band coming all the way from Berlin, Audi,
Munich.
Gainesville.
Yep. Munich. They're coming from Munich.
What? Did I say Berlin again?
You did.
I don't know why I have Berlin on the brain. Because I saw the Reagan movie, and, you know, then soon after that, the wall came down and all that good stuff happening. So anyway, Audi, Gainesville on Main Street, and that is going to be 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 26th. What else do you guys, did I miss anything? What else would you like to add?
Oh, just bring some good spirits. I hope everybody gets through the new storm good so that we can get this place cleaned up again before the Oktoberfest. But I'm sure Floridians know how to deal with it. And just, you know, from our point of view, Mike and I, we want everybody to stay safe.
Yeah, and we want to thank Luke from Swamphead.
Absolutely.
He's the one that you give him a recipe and he brews up the beer to your recipe and now it's become kind of a big seller. Am I giving you too much credit?
You're
a humble man.
We told him we needed this beer and it needed to be a good one.
Yes, and we did come up with the name. We said let's name it Oktoberfest, spelled with a K. And Luke put that beer together, and donates it all.
It's the same one he's been doing for a few years. Same recipe.
Yes.
Cuz it's very good.
He didn't have it before us, but
so you worked together. It was a partnership.
We worked together. We asked him, and he came to the table, and it's a wonderful beer.
Gotta love that. Local folks working together, doing good work for an excellent organization that serves these people here locally, the Ronald McDonald House. We're proud to be a part of it. And you guys, thanks for your hard work and the time that you put in for these special things. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We will see you there. Oktoberfest, Saturday, October 26th. You can go to the Ronald McDonald House, northcentralflorida.org website for more information. There's also a Facebook page, and we will definitely see you there. All right, I'll give you the latest on Hurricane Milton coming up next on 97.3 The Sky. Happy Monday. We'll make it great. Come on now. It's all about an attitude. Pump it up. It is 9:20. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Well, we got us a hurricane that is bearing down on us, and this is not to be taken lightly. It is Hurricane Milton. It is already a major hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 125 miles an hour. It is moving east-southeast at 8 miles an hour. Most of the experts, at least, you know, my big source is National Hurricane Center, part of NOAA. And they've got this, you know, the cone basically from, you know, about Steen Hatchie down to Naples in, you know, in easy general terms, Tampa Bay being right about the middle of that. And so, you know, we'll see how it fluctuates or how it doesn't fluctuate from here. But they think it's going to get even stronger. And then hopefully before it hits land, it will weaken somewhat. How much? Again, just a guess, it still very well could be a major hurricane when it hits land, and that should be Wednesday evening. And again, give or take, depending on whether it speeds up or not. And that's what we're looking at now. And a lot of folks on the Florida's West Coast are not going to be sticking around, and I don't blame them. And you'll probably get some evacuation stuff and information coming. And listen to your local authorities if you do live toward, you know, like in our area, it'd be the Nature Coast and stuff. Listen to them because this is another one that could be packed with a tremendous surge. That's the biggest killer of hurricanes is the surge. The winds don't help either. So be prepared. That's all we can do. In Florida, is prepare ourselves the best we can and be prepared. The biggest thing that'll hit the most people will be loss of power. And you have to prepare for that. And then your expectations for getting back online quickly, you know, don't set that bar too high. You're going to be disappointed and then you're going to be wondering. And because, I mean, I got to tell you, things were done with almost lightning speed this last time around. I mean, the fact that we only had about 3,000 people out of power just, what, 5-6 days afterwards in the state of Florida compared to, what, the million we had previous, that says something. Oh, I mean, that this Governor DeSantis, you know, he is
on it.
He's taking, look, Rick Scott did a great job as governor, and DeSantis has just taken that ball and run with it.
It's amazing when you look around the country, just in general, the difference and differences between how whatever the disaster is, you know, how different governors handle things.
Yeah.
Know? No. So much preemptive planning that goes into play makes all the difference.
Now, DeSantis is not the governor of North Carolina, and there are some folks up there that are not too happy. Residents in a North Carolina town have reportedly been left to fend for themselves in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene's destruction, adding basically they don't care if FEMA shows up. This was in an interview with the New York Post. Several residents of the town of Bat Cave, located near the village of Chimney Rock, explained that they have no signs. They've seen no signs of FEMA or other government agencies. And they have seen some Department of Transportation folks and random fire departments. But basically, the residents have primarily been responsible for the cleanup and bringing in supplies. And, you know, is FEMA stretched thin? Do you accept that as any sort of an excuse when we have so much, allegedly so much money that we can send it to Ukraine, so much money that we can take in millions of illegals?
Yeah, but you said
pay for that.
You said people there are unhappy. That's not what I heard Brandon say.
What do the states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
Okay.
What do the states in the storm zone, what do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need. They're very happy across the board.
See, Bob, they're very happy across the board. Maybe they're on the wrong side of the board.
Well, first, he didn't know. First, he speak up, Sonny. I think I got getting on a helicopter. And then he's like, what storm? Huh? You know, the hurricane, the record-breaking hurricane.
That storm zone.
That wrecked damage throughout the southeast United States, the one that you're the president of. Oh, you're talking about that one.
It came to it.
Well, those people, they are getting everything they need.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're happy across the board. Yeah.
And yeah, to add to that.
Yeah.
It is.
How insulting.
It's insulting and it's kind of disturbing, too. Like, why would you even add that? And they're happy. Wow. I don't care how much help is there or on the way or whatever. Mm-hmm. I doubt there's that a word happy would describe 99% of those people.
No.
At least.
No.
But they're happy, according to Joe Biden.
Even if you didn't lose your house, your family, your business, your car. Okay, so things have been tough. Roads are missing. Power was out. Communications were down. I mean, ain't nothing happy going on there.
Well, if you're going to work for FEMA, I would think, and this could call me crazy, but that you would be prepared that you would be going into a disastrous situation.
Oh,
you know, something that you would call an emergency.
Yeah.
And that you would help to manage the things surrounding that emergency. Is that, am I off base here?
Yeah, like emergency management.
Yeah.
That's a great concept there.
Well, let me tell you, it's anecdotal, but still it's interesting. Another resident of that area, Chelsea Atkins, she told the New York Post that FEMA informed her that they wanted to inspect her home. That's great news, you know. The sooner they get there, you can see the damage. Yeah. Hopefully I'll get some help, maybe a place to turn to, you know, roof over my head temporarily, whatever it may take.
Sure.
You know. Oh, sorry. We're not going to be able to make it. Because apparently they couldn't drive around a sign indicating that the road was closed. So if there's a disaster, if there's an emergency, and there's a road closed, well, FEMA then can't address, I guess, an emergency of that magnitude if there's a road closed sign.
You'd think there would be other ways to get there?
Or maybe they just close the road to emergency vehicles only, and that if you're working for FEMA, you could say, hey, we need to, you know, get to this address, and then they would say, oh, you can't. That road is severely damaged, or they'd say, we're trying to keep traffic off the road, but we understand what you need to do. Go.
We're from the government.
We're here to help. If we can get around that road closed sign.
Blasted road sign. Oh, man, if that sign weren't there. The things we could do to help you.
If the road is closed, that just could be
one
indicator that people might need help.
That it's an emergency.
I'm just guessing.
Well, it's pretty good for making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good guess.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. There's more where those came from?
I figured.
It is 9:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget, you can download the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get your podcast, or the Odyssey app. Just click on subscribe. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. John Kerry set the bar pretty high as one who would love to attack our Constitution, namely our First Amendment rights. Said, yeah, the pesky First Amendment gets in the way of running a democracy.
Gets in the way?
Mm-hmm.
It's the basis for this country, which is not a democracy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Constitutional Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get that memo.
Oh, yeah.
It gets in the way of them getting things done. In other words, they're the purveyors of all that is knowledge and truth. They've made themselves demigods is what they've done.
True.
And they really think they're right to that extent. Sure. Well, guess who's kind of glommed onto that little wagon recently? Hillary Clinton. And listen, if you asked Hillary about free speech 20 years ago, I think she would be a pretty strong advocate and a defender of it. Really?
I agree, yes.
What changed? What's going on now? Because if you look at the political parties, it's really the left that has changed the most.
On everything.
Yeah. Yeah, they've gone hardcore. And they're also the ones that, you know, to pick up every odd and weird kind of thing, too. Like, you know, giving kids the power to, you know, have major surgery because they feel like they're, you know, different gender.
But we can't trust them to drive yet.
No.
Okay, or get a tattoo.
No. Mm. All right, so she was on CNN's Smirconish, and Clinton said, we need national action. And sadly, our Congress has been dysfunctional when it comes to addressing these threats to our children. Because the question is, you know, have we lost control of social media content? And should it not be, you know, more regulated? She says, yeah, so you're absolutely right. This should be at the top of every legislative political agenda. There should be a lot of things done. We should be, in my view, repealing something called Section 230, which gave platforms on the internet immunity because they were thought to be just pass-throughs, that they shouldn't be judged for the content that is posted. But we now know that this was an overly simple view, that if the platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, X or Instagram or TikTok, whatever they are, if they don't moderate and monitor the content, we lose total control. And it's not just the social and psychological effects, it's real harm. It's child porn and threats of violence, things that are terribly dangerous. She said, remove the immunity from liability, and we need to have guardrails. We need regulation. We've conducted a big experiment on ourselves, and particularly our kids, and I think the evidence is in. We've got to do more. Take phones out of schools. I'm so happy to see schools beginning to do that, where kids turn their phones in when they walk in the door. Yeah, so let's blame all of the social ills on these social media outlets. And what she wants to do sounds harmless, like, hey, they should be responsible for content. But what the kind of effect that'll have is a chilling effect on free speech, because they'll say, hey, you need to censor or moderate these thoughts and opinions. Well, if they were thoughts and opinions, say, about ivermectin when, you know, the whole COVID thing broke out.
Right.
They would have said that's disinformation, that's misinformation. And if you don't control that, you know, we're going to sue you. We're going to make you pay a fee, et cetera. They're going to do something to them.
But what about when John Kerry or Hillary Clinton lies in social media or on the news? Do we get to, like, edit that out? Maybe? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, you know, look. If they take control, and that's the Democrats' whole idea, once they have total control, then they will control everything else besides just the political realm. They will then control big business and little business. They will control social media and free speech.
That's scary.
Yeah, because what they're saying, what they have to offer in their own heads is absolutely the truth. That is a frightening, frightening thought, isn't it? And what they say, that is the rule. That's the law. And you can't even speak out against it. That's the very essence of the First Amendment, was our ability to say, hey, I don't like the government or what they're doing. I think they're out of control.
That was the whole point.
Of free speech.
All these other things we've turned it into, and people like to go, oh, what about my free speech? Really, you all have no clue what it was really about. It basically, the king has no clothes, you don't get your head cut off. I mean, it wasn't about anything or everything you want to say or do or opinion to have. It really had a specific purpose based on history. But we forget history, and they like to shove that aside anyway.
Think about all the things they have said about conservatives, Republicans, and Trump, how they've pointed the finger and said all these nasty, unkind, and in most cases, untrue things. And it goes back to, once again, the Marxist philosophies. Call your enemy what you are. Blame your enemy for doing what you're actually doing. That's precisely what Hillary's doing. If you take what John Kerry has said recently, and you put that with what Hillary is saying here, that it doesn't get much more authoritarian than that. You take that with Joe Biden mandating what car you can buy or drive, you know, into the future, long after he'll already have left this earth. But yet he wants to leave a legacy of telling us what to do. When you put those together, that's frightening. Talk about authoritarian forcing you to conform.
authoritarian, or could it even be totalitarian government?
Both, yeah.
Just asking for a friend. Just
Again, remember how they're saying it. There'll never be another election again if Donald Trump gets elected.
That's crazy.
Well, no, it's not crazy.
Well,
that's exactly what's going to happen, but it's not if Donald Trump's elected.
Oh, I see. Now
it's if Kamala's elected. See, because
now you're talking.
Well, because they try to say you're doing what they're really doing.
Exactly.
They learned that from Karl Marx. That's where that comes from. Mm-hmm. And when you have the mainstream media on your side, okay, it is hard for many Americans to take a step back and to try to look at it in a different way, or to try to see it for what it really is. Can't you see this, what they're doing? Do Republicans try to take away your Second Amendment rights? No, Democrats do.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Republicans attacking free speech? No.
Yeah.
The Democrats are. This is simple. You know, is the money you earn yours, or really should it go to the government? And then they decide how much is left over for you.
Well, you know they'd like to do that.
That's Democrats.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get much clearer than that, and they've messaged it. They've telegraphed it. Mm-hmm. Everything all out by doing that finger-pointing thing. Everything that's nasty that comes out of their mouth, just turn that back around. That's them. That's what they're doing, and they're telling you. They couldn't be more obvious, in my opinion, and they have no shame either.
That's almost the scary part, that they feel comfortable enough that America have become a bunch of sheep, that they can say the crazy things they believe, and nobody really peeps up about it at all. It's really scary.
Well, you know, who's been the strongest advocate for the American people? Donald Trump, who they absolutely hate and are doing everything they can to keep him from gaining the presidency. That's your Democrats. President Joe Biden's Homeland Security chief is now refusing to send home more than 500,000 foreign workers he's imported via humanitarian parole program. It's supposed to be limited to 2 years, and then it's over, and you go home. That's the parole/visa program that they were utilizing. They're two-year visas. These are what you call economic migrants. Now they're being invited to any loophole exemption lawsuit in migration law that they can find to stay working in the U.S. When they do stay, they'll continue to make Americans poorer by minimizing pressure on employers to hire Americans at decent wages or to invest in wage-boosting workplace technology. Yep. So he's not even following through with his own programs properly. 500,000. Not going to send him home. This is what we've done with the work visas historically. Okay, you did your work visa time and you leave.
Yep.
Some apply to stay and they can come back at some point, a lot of them. But generally, it's, after your 2 years, you got to go back to where you came from. But not now. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Good morning, Shep. You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to say that whenever I get into these arguments, either on Facebook or whoever, and I try to say that Harris and Walz are Marxist or communist, they tell me I don't even know what communism is. And I say, au contraire, I have read Das Kapital. And then they ask me, what's that? I say, oh, you don't know. Well, let me enlighten you. Das Kapital by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels is the communist playbook. And what they are trying to do with Harris and Walz is what is in Das Kapital, the communist playbook. I would urge everyone listening to get a copy of it. And if they can't afford to buy a copy of it because of the Biden economy, then go to your local library and borrow it. If you can read that and still want communism or socialism, there is something seriously wrong with you. See you later, gentlemen.
No, see you. Very well said. Very well put. Yes. Yep, Marxism. That's what, I mean, you see it. If you read that, you'll go, oh, check that box. Oh, check that. That's what the Democrats are doing. It is there. playbook now.
I was talking to some folks over the weekend of Hispanic background and talking about how some folks coming from some of these Central American companies, countries, maybe Cuba, they're looking around going, this is a little too familiar.
Yeah, we've been here before.
Yeah,
we've seen this.
Lived that my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not unusual, unfortunately.
And you've got to listen to people when they say that. Mm-hmm. Their life's experience, I mean, they experienced it.
Yeah.
It's not just an opinion they developed over the last, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Anti-Semitic incidents in the United States have increased by 200% in the year since Hamas terrorists launched an attack on Israel, which was a year ago today, right? Today is October the 7th. The Anti-Defamation League announced in a press conference preliminary data that they put together more than 10,000 anti-Semitic incidents. Wow. And in years prior, just the prior year, there were roughly about 3,300. Wow. Yep. It's hard to believe a year's gone by already. And you know there's still 96 people that are being held by Hamas?
Including some that are
Americans.
American. Wow. Huh.
Yep.
Glad we're on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if they were Ukrainian.
Oh, they'd be home hanging out with Zelensky.
9:50 on the Bob Rose Show. Time for things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts you want to share. Brought to you by the best dentist in the whole world, Robin Larson Dental. Call now 877-975-9825. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Welcome back. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's time for things that make you smile, upbeat positive thoughts. Brought to you by the best dentist in the whole world, Robin Larson Dental. Call in now, 877-975-9825. And good morning, Lee. What's making you smile?
If you want something that'll make you smile, look up the online free courses that Hillsdale College is offering. There is one in particular about Marxism, socialism, and communism. I think that will be very informative, and I would suggest people look that up, okay?
That's great information. Appreciate that. Yeah, I believe he did say free, didn't he? Nice. All right. You know what's making me smile? I have my preparations, I believe, pretty much done. I mean, you know, it's open-ended to some extent, but the basics, the water, the generator, the fuel, the food, I've got those covered. So feeling, you know, pretty good about the situation. Well, I guess you'd say the coming situation, because it definitely doesn't make me smile that Milton is on the way, but it makes me smile that people are taking it very seriously. I see the stores have been quite busy selling a lot of items, and I also noticed that, at least in my experience, people have been very cooperative and friendly. Now, as it gets closer, that might change or after the storm, but for now, it makes me smile how people are.
Yeah, because sometimes I get a little stressed, you know. And hopefully, if there's a good from having had Helene come through, is that people are not that far removed from having been prepared, and maybe it was like, okay, didn't take that serious. I got a couple of days here. Maybe I should, and everyone will get through it a little bit better.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
When you see the devastation, it's hard to say, yeah, it couldn't happen to me.
Yeah, right. All right. So get out there and get prepared.
Could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Coming up next, the Smoking Gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. And it's coming up. Hang on.
Sean Hannity.
The IRS under Biden and Harris introduced a new enforcement program to collect more taxes on tips.
Weekdays, 3 p.m.
If you're in the service industry and have yet to face an audit, buckle up because that's coming your way.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. What tied for the largest wreck in modern history in NASCAR broke out with five laps to go Sunday at the Yellowwood 500 Talladega. 27 cars involved in the big one, and five laps to go. It occurred right in front of the field and took out virtually everybody in the that was in the lead pack.
Wow.
After making it through the crash, it was Ricky Stenhouse Jr. who would go on to win, beating both Keselowski and William Byron in a 3-wide photo finish. Wow. Smoking tires, smoking engines. That's your smoking gun. The smoking gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.